Please have a seat. Bill, come on up here. I need a line leader, Oh, Landon, okay.
Trying to get me ran over?
Just get in their line and just don't make any trouble, or one of them will kick you, I'm sure. Yeah.
Good morning. When we look around our church, sometimes I know we're discouraged because we see small numbers. But do you know what I see? I see a church that is in the top five Gideon giving churches in the city of Branson, in the Branson camp. And if I divide our offering by the number of people here, per person, we're number one. And I tell you this because I have a gift to say thank you, and I hope I can get through this, to you as my fellow church members. And to my pastor, wherever he may be, he is the most supportive pastor a Gideon can have. Because he tells me, Bill, I'm glad when you're not at church, because I know you're out speaking for the Gideons, raising Bibles to send out into the world. Last year, we gave out from this church over 2,200 of these little testaments. This church placed over 540 of these Bibles. Now, you didn't do that combined, but one or the other. This church is having an impact for Christ in this world. And we're taking lost souls who will be saved to heaven with us. And that's what the Great Commission is. I want to say thank you today, and I'm going to do that by introducing you to my brother in Christ, Leroy Kennedy. We just sang a song, and we talked about crimson sin. You can go up if you want. Leroy's life was blood red. And I'm not going to tell you much about him because I want you to enjoy his testimony, and he'll tell you all you need to know about Leroy Kennedy in here. Please give Leroy Kennedy, he's also a Gideon, a warm Horizon welcome. Thank you.
No, I don't want to know Jesus. Those are the words that came from my lips as I sat on a park bench in Battle Creek, Michigan, recapping my life, thinking about all the things people had said about me. You're useless. You're no good. You will never amount to nothing. You see, at the age of 9, when I came home from school, I had to help my mother buy the bootleg whiskey because that was the means that she used to support our family. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. My sister was suicidal, and my brother died from a crippling disease at a very early age. At the age of 13, I witnessed the stabbing death of my father. It was that experience that caused me to harden my heart against the world. I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution, but during that time, I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. I thought, well, maybe if I had more drugs or had more things, maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. But I had an aunt. She would come by my house on a Sunday morning and literally drag me out of bed and take me to church with her on a Sunday. It got to a point where it was easier to go to church with that old lady than fight with her. Going to church got to be fun. I learned where they put the money from the collection plate, and I used to steal money from the collection plate to support my drug habits. So when she would come by on a Sunday morning, I would be up, dressed, and ready to go. And she thought, boy, oh, the word of God is really getting into my nephew. It wasn't the word of God. It was the money from the collection plate. After a period of time, some of those church leaders, they caught me taking the money. And they took me to a place they call the upper room. Now, I tell you, after having a conversation in the upper room with those church leaders, I didn't have any more use for that church. I got back out into the streets of Philadelphia, got deeper involved with drugs and alcohol. But that emptiness was still there. I thought, well, maybe if I joined the military, that would be the answer. I joined the Army. Within 8 weeks, I had went AWOL twice because of my drug problems. And Uncle Sam concluded, Kennedy, you're useless, and we're not going to waste our time trying to make a soldier out of you. There I was, a reject in Uncle Sam's Army, back on the streets of Philly, still searching for something to fill the emptiness in my heart. I started working in the slaughterhouse in Philadelphia, and when I did, there was a young man working in that slaughterhouse by the name of Joe Frazier. Joe and I, we would sit on our lunch hour, and we would share life experiences with each other. Joe would try to influence me with his goodness. I would try to influence him with my drugs. Well, his goodness didn't rub off on me. My drugs didn't rub off on him. Joe Frazier went on to be the heavyweight champ of the world. Leroy Kennedy continued his life of drugs and alcohol. I was empty. I thought, well, maybe if I settled down and got married, that would be the solution. I met a lady, we got married, 3 kids, and 6 years later, she concluded, you're useless, you're no good, and I want you out of my life. You see, my wife and I, we had worked hard that year and saved our money to give our kids a big Christmas. A few weeks before Christmas, I went to the bank and I withdrew all of the money. And I went to a drug house, started gambling, started buying dope. The place got raided and I ended up in jail. I called my wife and I explained to her what had happened. She sent her attorney down to get me out of jail, but the condition of my release was for me to sign my divorce papers, deed my portion of the house over to her, and leave the city of Philadelphia. That was one dark moment in my life. After I was released from jail, I went to the airport with only a few dollars in my pocket. I laid it on the counter, and I asked for the first plane going anywhere leaving Philadelphia. I ended up in Detroit, Michigan. No job, no home, no friends. I ended up in a homeless shelter. But during that time in that homeless shelter, I met a lady who was doing volunteer counseling. We developed a relationship and we got married. 1 kid and 18 months later, she concluded, Leroy Kennedy, you're useless, you're no good, and I want you out of my life. At the age of 30, I was on my third marriage, still searching for something to fill the emptiness in my life. My wife had came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and she would tell me how Jesus could change my life. I told her nobody could change me. She said, but Jesus can change your life. She began to have a Bible study in our home, and when she did, her Christian friends would come over on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening, and I did not like those Christians coming into my house. I would call my drug friends over, I call my alcoholic friends over, and on the night that they was having prayer meeting and Bible study, we would be in the other room smoking dope, tooting coke, telling dirty jokes. I was determined to run those Christians out of my house. My wife, she said, I can't continue to live like this. Either you change or I'm leaving. I told her I couldn't change. She said, but Jesus can change your life. A few weeks went by, she noticed that I was not making any effort to change my way of living. She packed up everything that she had and she moved back to Southern Illinois. That following morning after she left, I got up early, rolled me a joint, tooted some coke, took me a couple of hits of acid, and I want you to know I was stoned out of my mind. I went for a walk in the county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. It was a park that was occupied by the homeless. And as I was walking through that park, I came to a park bench, and I was sitting on that park bench just recapping my life, thinking about all the things people had said about me. You're useless. You're no good. You will never amount to nothing. It was that day that I came to the conclusion that I would be better off to the world if I was dead. And I was going to go home that morning, start popping pills to commit suicide. But there were some faithful men in the park that was witnessing to the homeless, and they was giving them these little testaments. And one of those men, he walked up to me. He had a big smile on his face. He said, do you know Jesus? I said, no, and I don't want to know Jesus. He said, Jesus loves you. I said, if you knew of all the things that I have done, all the people whom I've hurt, nobody could love me. He had a handful of these little testaments, and he had a Bible tucked under his arms. And I didn't want to hear any more about his Jesus. I pushed him aside, and when I did, that Bible fell to the ground. And I reached down to pick it up. And when I did, my eyes was glued to the page of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good from the land. I want you to know those words did surgery on my soul. I fell to my knees. I began to cry. And that man, he picked up one of those little testaments and he opened it up and he showed me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I personalized that. For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son. It was that day I prayed. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to clean up my life and make me somebody. I want you to know the Lord heard that prayer and the Lord answered that prayer, and I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. For the first time in my life, I felt whole, I felt complete, I felt like a new person. I was so excited, I went home, got on the phone, I called my wife, and I shared with her about my life-changing experience. She said, I know there's something different about you because we've been talking for 45 minutes and you have not said one bad word. The Lord had even taught me how to speak English. My wife and I, we got back together, joined the local church. Doctors had told my wife she would never be able to bear children. But you know, what's impossible for man is not impossible for God. The Lord began to bless us with 1, 2, 3, 4. My prayer life got very strong. Lord, no more. After a period of time, my wife and I, we was encouraged to go to a dinner that was sponsored by the Gideons. And I want you to know, it was that night that we became members of the Gideons International. And we worked with the Gideons down in southern Illinois. And after 10 years of marriage, I came home from work. My wife had been sick. I took her to the doctor. Tests revealed she had cancer. 9 months later, she died. But during those 9 months leading up to her death, my Christian friends would come over. They would pray with us. And when they would leave, they would always give me the Christian favorite scripture during times of troubles. Romans 8:28. How all things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I want you to know during those 9 months, I had Romans 8:28 up to here. I was sick of Romans 8:28 because I could not understand the reality of Romans 8:28. I would pray, Lord, how is it that you telling me something's good is going to come out of me losing my best friend and the mother of my 4 children? I could not understand that whatsoever. A few weeks later, I was collecting her personal things. I picked up her Bible and a 3-page letter fell out of it. 2 of those pages was written to each one of my children in the day that she prayed and led each one of them to the Lord. 3rd page was written to me. You know how she started her letter? Romans 8:28. I tell you, as I stand here today, I can look back and I can see the reality of Romans 8:28. I can see the things that the Lord has taken me through. Today, I'm a retired Walmart executive, a member of the largest Christian businessman organization in the world, all because of one little testament provided by a local church in the hands of one person asking the question, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? God bless you, church, for your continued support of the Gideons International. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
There's going to be an offering for the Gideons.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
On a 2:11 flight, and I promised him that if he came and spoke in our church, I would get him to the airport on time or drive him home. Now, I really don't care. Well, I'd love to spend the time with him driving him home, but I really don't have the gas money. So please excuse us. We are going to leave. But today on your offering, many times at our convention this weekend, people said, night is coming. We need to work while it is still day. When you're making out your checks and you're putting in your offering, don't think about the dollars you're putting in that plate. Think about the number of Leroy Kennedys you want to see go to heaven, because that is what an offering does. It takes people like Leroy, it gives them God's word, and there's nothing more powerful in this world than God's word. Leroy has a lot of incredible things in his testimony, but I think one that touches me most is when instantly he was healed from drugs. Instantly, God cleaned up his language. We talk about being washed with the blood of Christ. He was washed with the blood of Christ. Thank you.